like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus, 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 let us. I sing praises to your name, O Lord. I sing praises to your name. We just all stand tonight. O Lord, praises to your name. O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. To your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Let's just bow our heads tonight, Heavenly Father. We love to sing your praise. Lord, you are greatly to be praised, Lord, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. We love you. We thank you that your presence is here tonight, Lord. Lord, we know you're here, Lord. We know that in your presence is pleasures, is peace, is joy, Lord, and is your perspective, Lord, where we can see, Lord, from where you are, Lord, and not from where we are, Lord, outside of you. Lord, take us tonight, Lord. Just open us up, Lord. Take control of us and through us for the glory of God. Over every spirit, Lord, that would try to disrupt what you're doing. And over this flesh that would try to disrupt what you're doing, Lord. And over our mind, Lord. And over our spirit, Lord, that would try to that Satan would want to be a channel for his plan, Lord. We just ask that you just cleanse us, oh God. And take us, Father, wash us, Lord, by your word tonight. Refresh us, Lord, and stimulate us, Father, to growth and new heights, Lord, and to reveal yourself, Father, Lord, through that sweet oil of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and that wine of stimulation, Lord. We thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, what you're going to do, Lord, and what you're doing right now, Lord. We thank you, Father, and we just commit each one into your hands tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, saints. Before you take your seats, let's just get our Bibles out. And we're just going to go right into the Word. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, Mom, for being here, and thanks for the special. That's the heart of the Lord for us and for his people. Thank you. It's good to have Grace and Isaiah with us tonight. And they're in town through, hopefully the 31st. Is there a 31st this month? 30th? So I'm trying to get them to stay longer, obviously. So praise God. Let's go turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we just see the condition that the world's in the news. We see the condition of everything. And it breaks our heart. Even just hearing today. And you just think, what in the world? And Lord put a something on our heart to encourage us tonight. I want to be encouraged tonight. Do you want to be encouraged? And so this is something that's, I know it's just really just encouraging me this morning as I was working at Costco, and I just know it'll be a blessing to all of you because I believe it's from the Lord. And we'll just start with verse 1, and we see the heading is difficult times will come. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And we know all this, so we're going to skip right down to verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. And we see that such an age to love pleasure more than God. And so, let's just now turn in the scripture to Hebrews chapter 10. And just want to talk on a little thought on stimulation, God's stimulation. And I've had more than an hour to prepare, so you forgive me if I'm long. I won't try to be long. So hopefully that means I'm shorter. But let's just take Hebrews 10, chapter 10. And we're going to go down to verse 19. So now this is our narrative. This is our story when all this is going on. Praise God. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us. He set us this aside for us, saints, through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. It's his faithfulness keeping us. And let's read verse 24 together. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And verse 25 as well. Not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You may be seated. May the Lord add his blessings on the reading of the word. And we talked about stimulation in this scripture. And so, as you know me, we're going to dive into what stimulation means. This is wonderful because we're going to take the idea of worldly pleasures versus godly stimulation. And I was thinking about this because when I came to the Lord, especially young people and middle-aged people and old people, you're all completely mature, so you don't have to tune into this part. Is that when I came to the Lord, Noah, and I really said I surrender all, and I meant it, after thinking of all the things I had to give up, the first thing Satan did, his number one tactic is, you know, you won't be able to have any fun now that you're a Christian. And I said, I don't know. I know God is good, so he'll do that. But there was this attitude of, we cannot have fun because we're Christians, and it's boring. You have to just read your Bible and pray, and you have to go to church, and you have to stay holy before the Lord, and that this is just a devotion, and you just give up any. There's no fun in Christ, and you know, in a way, he could say that was right, but there's something that's better than worldly fun. There is godly pleasures. There is godly stimulation by revelation. And some of these things seemed high to me. When I heard stimulation by revelation, I thought, well, that's for pastors and for people that are way level 15. But to think that God wants to stimulate all of us, and that word stimulation is God has stimulation for us because it's wonderful. It feels good. It is good. And it also brings us to growth. It also can irritate us in a good way. It just stirs us up. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. So it comes from the word to incite. It comes in a way to irritate, like I said. It's to provoke, to sharpen, to stimulate, to spur on, to urge, to irritate, to arouse to anger. It means to exasperate, to burn with anger. And so we see this in a way. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17. And we see this with Paul. Is that God, we live in a world that we want to be chill all the time. Like, we don't want to get too angry. We don't want to get too excited. You hear how many times Brother Brown would say, don't let that bug you if I get excited. I like being this way. Leave me alone. Because the Word of God is so stimulating that it makes us a different person. It makes us look weird to the world. Acts chapter 17. And we're going to go to verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. So we see that his spirit was stimulated. This is another word for that. It was stirred within him. It was kindled. It was provoked. And we see, then you go down to verse 22, and then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God." And he starts telling them the things of God. So here he was stirred up because of idolatry. And now we see the famous sermon on Mars Hill. So God loves to, and now what we know, it was the Holy Ghost inside him, stirring him up to speak to these men of and witness to them of who that unknown God was. But at first, started with him being provoked, him being stimulated. So let's go back to the condition of this world just to see what we're up against. So this is in 1 Thessalonians 4, it talks about study to be quiet. And it means to lead a quiet life away from the ambitions of the world. Because it says in these last days that knowledge shall increase. Scrolling, 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 scrolling. Wikipedia, Grok, AI, everything is just the more information, the better, right? And then we'll run to and fro and to and fro and back and forth, and we're just getting so overstimulated. And our minds don't have a chance to rest, to be stimulated by God, because we're overstimulated in this age. Would you agree? We're so stimulated. You're trying to get pump your gas at the pump, and all of a sudden, check out our new, blah, 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 and it's, the screen is talking to you while you're at the pump. You're not even in the store yet. Come on in and come and get some. You're just trying to get alone with God and all this overstimulation. So God knows that we have, when we have quietness and confidence, it'll be our strength. So this is a commentary on that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4. A quiet life, this means that we should have an aspiration and ambition to life to lead that quiet life. Peace, calm, rest, and satisfaction. It contradicts the hugely successful modern attraction to entertainment and excitement. This addiction to entertainment and excitement is damaging both spiritually and culturally. We might say that the excitement and entertainment are like a religion for many people today. This religion has a God, self. This religion has priests, celebrities. This religion has a prophet, perpetual entertainment. This religion has scriptures, tabloids, entertainment, news, informational programs, places of worship, amusement parks, theaters, concert halls, sports arenas, television, internet. Are those all those little chapels? Just feeding us. It seduces people into living their lives for one thing, the thrill of the moment. But these thrills are quickly over and forgotten, and all that is important is the next fun thing. This religion conditions its followers to only ask one question: is it fun? It never wants us to ask more important questions as, is it true? Is it right? Is it good? Is it godly? Rather than having that attention to listen to God, to be still so that we can be stimulated by His Spirit. We know this from science, talks about how that we have dopamine receptors in our brains. How many remembers me talking about that? And that when we are seeing things that are very, very exciting, that could be not wrong at all, but it actually makes us overload our receptors, and now things actually feel less nature, things that God created are less enjoyable because we've actually, because it's so overwhelming to our brains, it actually turns off receptors. So now when we go out, instead of being standing in awe of God and being stimulated by God, we've lost that because now it's just understimulating. So again, it's just trying to crowd out God. This is from the sermon. Let me get the right quote here. Praise God. This sudden secret going away of the church. Excuse me, this one in the fourth seal. I'm sorry, I'm just getting my mind together here. Forgive me. Thank you. Okay, so Brother Branham talks about, we all know the story of stimulation to be born by the Spirit. Is that when a child is born, that it has to be stimulated to life, has to be spanked, it has to be rubbed to be born. And he says, and if there's anything the church needs today is a good old-fashioned gospel, Holy Ghost spanking by the hand of God, pouring out His power, it'll make the church come to life. That may seem flat, but that's the truth. You spank him a little bit, and he will let out a squall crying. Now, I said I was going to encourage you tonight. The first row of scripture, or the quote I wrote, read was that. But let's just go on. And he says, what we need to do is come back to the guidebook, back to the Word of God. This is the Word of God. The blessed old Bible say, well, I'm afraid to become like that. Now, listen, young people, this is good. This is what I needed to hear a little bit. I'm afraid to become that, Brother Branham. I'm afraid I'll lose some of my joy. What's the matter? You don't know what joy is. And when I came to Christ, I said I didn't really know what joy was. I didn't really know what true joy, lasting joy was. I have a friend who grew up in church. He's a pastor's kid. And he said, I wanted to see, because I grew up in church my whole life, in the Message. He says, I wanted to see what it was like where everybody said there was lots of good fun. And so I went out nightclubbing. And he said, I went there and I looked at everybody, and everybody was the life of the party. So there he's like not on the fringe, like, oh, maybe I can get a little bit of fun. Maybe on the outside. No, he was going right to the heart of where everybody said, this is where the party's at, this is where the fun is. And he said, I came away seeing people that if you went back to where they lived, it was just a trash heap. And everything on the outside was, I'm going to have a nice car, I'm going to have nice clothes, I'm going to look really good, but they were just in debt and they were just empty. And he says, I could say it in one sentence what they were. He said, it was like fake joy. It was like there was joy without hope. He said, false promise of joy. This is going to be the best night. This is going to be it. And to be able to say that now they have to go to work the next day and they're hangover. They have all these things. And again, their body is still reeling from the overstimulation. And it's not lasting joy as we see. He talks about the drunkard. He says, I don't condemn the drunkard. The next morning, he's got the blues. He's got a hangover. And he says, what about the cigarette smoker? He blows through his nose like a freight train. I don't blame him. That's all the joy he knows. And I think I'm going to put myself on the chopping block here. There's sometimes still where I hear the enemy and I say, Stephen, you could do something. You could watch this documentary. You could watch this thing or this thing. And I haven't spent any time with the Lord. He's trying to get my balance over into pleasures more than God. When I haven't put God first. But it says that man, he's a pig by nature. He says, shame on us to profess to be a Christian and rely on such things for joy when the Holy Ghost gospel is nothing but one great big powerhouse of joy. And let's not focus on the chiding as much as, remember, our greatest reward is to enter into the joy of the Lord. Because remember, at his right hand is pleasures forevermore. The Holy Ghost, I'm going to say that again. When the Holy Ghost gospel is nothing but one great big powerhouse of joy. The Holy Ghost gospel is a perfect intoxication for every man that's got the blues. You'll take a drink of the gospel of Jesus Christ, be filled up with the Holy Ghost. You are drunk until you leave this world, amen, joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a constant stimulation. Drunk day and night, amen, that's the word of God. And I think we do it, and I think we go from, so then I went from that, young people, from, okay, God has something for me. I'll start reading my Bible and praying. And it was just, like I said, blank words on a page. And it was praying. It was just felt like I wasn't really getting anywhere. And it was this, I'm going through the motions and I had enough God to be miserable, as Brother Branham said. So it's just, again, this little bit. And again, but it was in that stage of we're going through detoxification. How many has ever done a detox before? Physical detox. You feel miserable first, right? And you think, well, this isn't fun. This isn't good. This isn't pleasurable. This isn't what brings me vitality. Because we want to be fully alive. We don't want to be just alive enough to be miserable. And so we see that, but it's not instant gratification. And that's something that we have to deal with in this world, is if it's instant gratification, it's probably not godly. But God's stimulation is well worth it. And you see so many times in Scripture where he has to purge us first. And if we can go through this part quickly and look through the telescope like someone that's done a detox and say, at the other end, there's going to be wonderful stimulation of the Spirit. There's going to be wonderful things on the other side of this. We know that David said, purge me with hyssop. And that was a weed that would grow on the walls of the city. and that weed had healing detoxification, but it was very bitter. And so detoxing from entertainment is not enjoyable at all. Detoxing from our favorite things in this world is not wonderful to our body at first. It's miserable. Like Brother Bam said, if it doesn't make you sick, it doesn't do you any good. Is that in order to be stimulated by the Spirit, we have to let Him purge us of all unrighteousness, to purge our mind of these things. I was just listening to Brother Eugene Brown, and he was talking about In the Way of the True Pastor, and he was talking about how they'll take sheep, and if they're sitting in their own pasture, they start eating their own fertilizer, and it actually causes them to get worms inside because they're not moving on. They're not keeping moving on. They're staying in one spot. And he says they have to take lime, and they have to feed them lime. And he says lime is very bitter, but it's a very good dewormer to get rid of all that worms and parasites out of them. And so that for us to know that some of these things that can feel like that, but on the other side of it, now we're traveling light. Praise God. He goes on talking about the church is the same way, partying and all these things. And if they'd ever come in contact with Christ, they'd have so much joy, those things would be deader than midnight to them. Gospel, drunk on the Spirit, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Don't condemn the sinner. And just skipping down for sake of time. That's the devil's intoxication. If he dies dragging on that old pipe, God is their judge. If he dies going out there dancing and running around, immoral clothes on, God is their judge. That's from enticing spirits. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. We know we're in the last days, saints. And verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, we know that voice, who that voice is. That's the voice of the Lord. A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. The oil and the wine. Don't destroy that oil and the wine. That is kept for us, saints. Is that here the in the third seal, there's a famine, and yet that in this day, when all is darkness, is that we have that oil of the Holy Ghost and we have that wine of the stimulation of revelation. And how many remember the first time where you got a scripture for the first time and all of a sudden it was like just light going from verse to verse to verse to verse to verse in the scripture. And you just said, I see it. Just one verse in the scripture is that it's a stimulation. It's not just, okay, well, I read my Bible. I did five verses. Okay, that was good. Let me read that one more time. I can't remember what that verse said. Is that, Lord, stimulate us by your word. And that's also, that word stimulate means to quicken. So it makes us more alive. Praise God. This is from the fourth seal. The immortal spirit of Christ becomes your personal savior and changes you and throws your views right straight into Calvary into this word, something has happened. Yes, sir, something has happened. No one will have to tell you about it. You know when it happens. And the new wine, when it brings revelation, then it's revealed. And that's the way it was at Pentecost. They know that there was supposed to be a spirit poured out upon them, and they waited till this happened. And when the vindication of the revelation took place, then stimulation was upon them. They sure did. Stimulation was upon them. I think because we're not wanting to get Pentecostal, as in the modern church is Pentecostal, we forget that this is something, the real Pentecost is stimulating. Because it's the Spirit. We feel His Spirit. And that's that, like Brother Branham said, God wants to entertain us with eternal life. And remember, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. It's His eternal words. It's His eternal life. We all know of the virgins, the foolish and the wise. We know that they were both pure. They're both living right before God. When we're living right before God, it's a wonderful thing. And that's a victory. And I think that's the next tactic of Satan, to say, okay, you're living right before God. You are now have said no to the world. I'm going to say no to the world, no to the world, no to the world right here. All over, we're saying no to the world. But, and then stay unstimulated. So we're just pure and undefiled, pure and undefiled, pure and undefiled, pure and undefiled. We say, yes, that's it. But not have any oil in our lamps. We have to have the Holy Ghost. We have to have that oil in our lamps. We have to have it full. Now, from the sudden secret going away of the church, how many of you all perhaps have read of the virgins? Some were wise and some were foolish. Virgin means purity. They were all good people. Every one of them, virgins, sanctified vessels of God. But those who had oil in their lamps went in, and the others were left out. Remember, it's don't destroy that oil. It's for the bride. It's for us. But those who had their oil in their lamps went in, and the others was left out. They were all virgins, every one. People that you couldn't put your finger on for anything wrong. Think about that, saints. You couldn't talk to them after service because you saw them doing something that was off the word. Nothing wrong. Completely pure and yet foolish virgins. They, everyone, believed in the coming of the Lord. They were ready to go meet Him, but some of them let their oil go out. Now here's the encouragement. Don't let that be your case. Keep oil in your lamp. Oil is a spirit, the Holy Spirit. Never let it drain from you. And this is, I think, is so important for us, saints, because when we have the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham is saying here, don't let it drain from you. We'd say, well, Brother Branham, we are sealed. But he's saying, never let it drain from you. When you feel your love dying away, your sincerity to Christ and to the cause, quickly go to Him who has the fountain of oil and buy for yourself a filling of the Holy Spirit. To keep our lamps filled and clear, now we know what that means. Keep filling. Say, Lord, keep filling me full. Keep filling me full and overflowing to others. And we see that when we're stimulated, we stimulate others around us, right? We know the story about the bear, that the cub bear that got all full of molasses. He was really stimulated. And he got so stimulated, everybody started licking on him. He didn't have to go over there and say, you know, if you want, you should get stimulated. If you knew what molasses was and just shake their finger at everybody, you need to go and find that molasses. Shame on you. No, it was, people just wanted to start, or the bears just wanted to start licking off him because he was covered with it. He was stimulated with it. And that's a difference because it's come and see. There's plenty more where that came from. It's not the shoulds and the rules and the condemnation. It's the love of God through us to others, bringing those to Christ. I remember the story I've told you about how I was just watching a film on Jesus, and it was just so excited about the things of the Lord. And I came in to work, and our milkman at Costco, he just says, "Hey, how are you doing?" And we were wrapping up his order, and he was just about to leave. And I said, "I'm good." He's like, "What have you been up to?" I said, "I was just watching this thing on the life of Jesus." And he said, "Oh, really?" And he says, "Yeah." I said, "Here's the information. You can watch it." And he goes, "Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I think I will." And he says, "Oh, by the way, it's my last day. I won't ever see you again." So I had one chance, and that was my last chance to say something. And I was covered with molasses, and I was able to give him some of that molasses because I had been feasting and been stimulated by it. And it didn't come out, it wasn't just, "Hold on a second, let me just see what my Bible says." My Bible says to lift, if I lift it up, I'll draw unto me. Okay, I'm going to lift up the Lord to you, and then you'll be drawn to the Lord. That's what my Bible says. Are you ready? No, it wasn't that. It was being stimulated. How many people think would that work? I didn't get any amens. No amens. Okay. David, has ever worked before? Has that ever worked before? It does. Praise God. Oh, my. So many times I've seen it do something. So we see that we can have something wonderful, saints of God. And Satan wants to program us. Again, he's tricky. He wants to program us over and over and over to misdirect us, to bring us away and to say, dun, 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 this is what you want to do right here. And when God has something so wonderful for us, and we think, well, Brother Stephen, we're not a mega church. We're not all about fun and smoke and mirrors and glitter. And that's true. And so I think sometimes we say, because we're not that, that we can't have a good time in the Lord. And I think we don't show, I think, an example of that, to have a good time in the Lord. And to think the preview of the rapture is seated in heavenly places with him, where at his right hand, his place of strength, are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures. You could say, "That's Stephen, it's entertainment. That's too much. It's all about entertainment." We can be entertained by the things of God to keep our eyes focused upon him. Praise God. Glory to God. So that scripture we were reading about, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And it says, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some are. So we have to do both. We can say, I want to provoke Derek to good works, but I'm not going to see you in church. We could say, but it says, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together, but exhorting one another. So it just said, in church, we're exhorting one another. It doesn't say only in church, but it says, but exhorting one another. And that word is that stimulation. It actually means, again, to sharpen. It's to provoke, to arouse, to provoke, and sometimes even maybe to exasperate, because you're just wooing them with the love of God. And it's out of love. It's not out of writing tickets. Because anyone can take a Bible and say, "Oh, let's see if Isaiah's doing that. Oh, well, I don't know. Well, okay, you know what? He'll thank me later." But we do this out of love because it's his Spirit. And his Spirit is groaning. His Spirit in us is groaning for one another. It's not groaning, oh dear, oh Derek. It's, oh, I have such a love for Derek. I have such a love for each one of you that I want you to grow in Christ. I want you to come up higher. I want so much. Remember that story I told about the lady that wanted to bring her neighbors to Christ. And she was praying for her neighbors and praying for her neighbors, and no one came to Christ. She just kept praying, and she invited the ladies over to her house. And she said, I just want to tell them about the love of Jesus. And it was so stimulated in her heart. And everybody turned to leave. And all of a sudden, she just broke down crying. And she's just weeping because she couldn't control herself. Because she says, I missed my chance. Lord, what are you doing? I'm waiting to hear something from you, and I can't. Somehow, they're leaving without a chance to hear. But I don't want to speak of my own ideas. I want you to speak. And her tears came down of love for her neighbors. And when they saw her crying, they said, why are you crying? What's wrong? And she said, I just want to tell you how much the Lord loves you. I can feel his love for you. And many of them came to Christ just because of her tears. Because of that was manifesting the love of God. She didn't have to take her Bible out and tell them, well, the Bible says you're wrong. Or the Bible says you need to repent. It was the love of Christ that stimulated them unto repentance. And so it's what a wonderful thing. We don't have to fabricate. We don't have to say we did our job and we told them, or else we'll be in the judgment and then we'll have the blood on our hands. No, it's just out of love. Out of the love of God constrains us. It provokes us to spur on. Praise God. Musicians, could you come? This is such a simple thought tonight. And I want us to just be able to take this home. You know my heart, saints. And the heart of the Lord is for us to be able to hit the ground right after service and to be able to do these things, to be encouraged that there's so much pleasure in the things of the Lord, in reading about the testimonies of different men and women of faith, Corrie Ten Boom, Brother Andrew, like Brother Derek was saying about the Cop for Christ, all these stories, all these pleasures of these things. And we so many times get ourselves stimulated by something else when there's so much good content that's not flaky and it doesn't leave you hungry. For us to be stimulated by him and to protect ourselves from being stimulated by the world. Praise God. We sing that song. It's the weird chord song. It's Open My Eyes, Illumine Me, Spirit Divine. Do we have that song, Charity? Open my eyes that I might see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Amen. Spirit Divine. Praise God. Lord, open our eyes to see you. Praise God. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. My God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. thou sendest clear, and while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. God, let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just came tonight, Lord, to hear from you, O God. Lord, to let you, O God, come and provoke us, Lord, to good work, to love and good works, as the scripture says, O God. Lord, may, Lord, our neighbors, Lord, our friends, Lord, our family, Lord, may we be so constrained and so provoked by your Spirit, Lord. Lord, having been in your presence, Lord, your pleasures, Lord, entertained with eternal life, O God, may we just rub off, Lord, on our loved ones, Lord, and the people around us, O God, Lord, even our enemies, O God, that they could be stimulated by your love and your good works through us, Lord. Please, Father, we just come before you, Lord, and break open these things, Lord. Quicken us, O God. We pray. We commit this service into your hands now, Lord, and each one here as we go tonight, Lord. And Lord, may your presence, Lord, and your mighty power go with us, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's just sing that one more time as we are dismissed. Oh, eyes and let me see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Lift in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. Spirit.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Fresh on me, yes, Lord, again. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh.
Sing Shut In With God in His Secret Place. Shut in with God in a secret place. There in His Spirit, beholding His face. Shut in with God. Oh, isn't it wonderful, saints? Oh, shut in with God in a secret place. There in His Spirit, beholding His face. And we're gaining new power to run in the race. How we love to be shut in with God. Let's sing, if that same Spirit, for if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, dwell in you. Oh, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, dwell in you, in me, oh, it will quicken this mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. Oh, it will quicken our mortal bodies. Oh, if that Spirit dwell in you, it's that same Spirit. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you, dwell in you. Oh, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you, dwell in you.
of your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. Oh, it will quicken your mortal body if that Spirit dwells in you. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Oh, know ye not, ye are the temple. Oh, know ye not, ye are the temple. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I know, yes, I know. Yes, I know I am the temple. Oh, yes, I know. Yes, I know I am the temple. Oh, yes, I know. Yes, I know I am the temple. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of praise, full of praise, full of power and full of glory. Yes, amen. I'm full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Full of praise, full of power and full of glory. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. So burn, burn, burn. So burn and burn, Holy Spirit. Burn in me and set my heart afire and fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire. Make me like, oh, make me like the Christ of old. And raising the dead. Oh, give me the power that Jesus had through the blood that was shed. Oh, burn, burn. Oh, burn, burn, Holy Spirit. Burn in me. Set my heart afire. Hallelujah. Oh, fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire. Yes, Lord. Oh, make me like the Christ of old and healing and raising the dead. Oh, and give me the power that Jesus had, oh, through the blood that was shed. Oh, so burn, 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 burn it all out, Lord. Burn in me and set my heart afire. Oh, fill me full of the Holy Ghost and God's full desire. Make me more like you, Lord, and make me like the Christ of old and healing and raising the dead. Oh, give me the power that Jesus said through the blood that was. So give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning all the time. Oil in my lamp, I pray. So give me oil in my lamp and keep me burning. Oh, keep me burning till the break, and that'll make me praise the Lord. And I will sing Hosanna, I will sing. Oh, I will sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. I'm singing, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna.
Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Oh Lord, oh give me joy in my heart and keep me praising, praising, praising. Give me joy in my heart, I pray. Yes, Lord Jesus, give me joy in my heart, keep me praising. Oh, keep me praising till the break of dawn. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, sing, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Oh, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. So burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Set my heart afire. Open me the prison of the Holy Ghost and God's full desire. And make me like the Christ of old, oh, healing and healing the dead. Give me the power that Jesus had, in the blood that was shed. Amen. God still moves. God still moves. Aren't you glad God moves in our lives? Oh, God still moves. You're dismissed as you feel led. Oh, God.